Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's President and CEO, Tansley Stern, podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show.
Nakiso Studio Lounge interviews brought to you by PSCU Co-op Solutions, Trisend, Envisant, Typhoon, Bonafide, CU Healthcare Pay Card, and CU Next Gen.
Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of the Nakiso Network here in Orlando, Florida. And oh my goodness, look who's in the studio lounge. Mr., the one and only Carl Clark from Humanity. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Good to see you, Mike. Thank you so much for having me.
You are looking dapper today, man.
Well, thank you. You're looking like at the
pocket square.
My wife dresses me. I don't get to take any credit for this. She saw a template that she thought she could work with.
Kudos to her.
She let me hang around long
looking
enough.
Good, man.
So yeah, I'm her dress-up doll.
Dress-up doll. Okay, yeah. I remember that one. Oh my gosh. So how are you? I mean, you guys are right across the hall over there, the Humanity booth and stuff. So how's it going on that side of the room?
It's going really well. This is my first Nakiso conference.
That's right. Yeah.
I think it's the first conference for several of my colleagues. Mm-hmm. We're really excited about the opportunity to be here and work with other CUSOs. This conference kind of holds a special place in our hearts because Humanity was responsible for the placement of Rinaldo Hardy.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. So we placed Rinaldo about a year ago as president and CEO here at Nakiso, and we're actually working with Nakiso right now on a head of innovation search as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got some really nice synergy working with this organization, and it's a great opportunity again to connect and network with other CUSOs and credit union professionals.
Mm-hmm.
A ton of really neat fintechs that are doing some really cool stuff in the industry.
Oh yeah,
it's a fun time, and we're in Disney World, right?
Oh, that's true. And there's that too.
Tough to beat. So it's been a really great conference so far. I'm looking forward to the next couple of days. Met some really nice people, and just excited for the future of the CUSO and the industry as a whole.
Yeah, no doubt. No, any highlights to share besides the big keynote speaker today with Mr. Barry Sanders? But anything else?
As a kid, I grew up playing football, and obviously I was a big fan of Barry Sanders, even though he...
Who wasn't?
Right.
Who
exactly.
Wasn't a fan?
Exactly. So I think that's the highlight for me so far. One of my colleagues was able to get a picture and a video with Barry Sanders, so
that's cool.
I feel like I won. I feel like I was in that picture, even though it wasn't me. So I'm excited for my colleague, and she's going to share that with her family. That's going to be a really cool experience.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. Well, let's talk about the topic at hand here. Trends in, what was it, recruiting trends?
Or recruiting, talent acquisition.
Talent acquisition. Yeah, what's going on? Because there's always this war for talent we keep talking about.
Yes.
It's still there, I'm assuming.
Yes.
So what are you guys seeing out there since you guys are on the front lines day in and day out?
So one of the first things that I want to talk about is the response to COVID, right? We cannot unremember what happened in 2020 and 2021, and I guess even spilling into 2022.
Yeah.
The aftermath of COVID led to a virtual workforce that we had not experienced before. I don't think I'm old, but I'm not young. But growing up, I did not have an experience where I worked remotely, and I think for a lot of professionals that was not what they were used to.
Yeah.
So COVID introduced an opportunity for a live human experiment where we figured out could individuals still be productive in a virtual setting, and the answer I believe is a resounding yes. Now the result of that from the recruiting and talent acquisition perspective is job seekers now have an expectation around the flexibility that comes with any role that they consider. So when I reach out to people about roles and opportunities, hey Mike, I think you'd be really good with this credit union. You should check them out. Well, Carl, is the job remote? Well, no, Mike, but it's a great role, and there's an opportunity for advancement, and I think the credit union pays really well. Well, hang on, Carl. Is it hybrid? Well, no, but they've got really great benefits, and I think... So they want me to come into the office four or 5 days out of the week?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Mike, is that okay? And Mike's not interested. So job seekers today expect... That's the baseline. They expect some flexibility and hybrid. Now there's still certain roles that you can't do. It's hard to be a teller virtually. It's hard to be a CEO virtually. But just about any other position, kind of in that associate level to mid-level management, there's an expectation that I can work from home at least a couple of days out of the week, and hiring managers, organizations, credit unions specifically, need to be ready and prepared for that job seeker.
No doubt.
Coming across.
I was talking to somebody here earlier today who just experienced that same scenario. A leader of a company, and this person was going to leave one company, but had an offer at another company, but it was in the office. But the other offer was from this guy that I was talking to, but that was remote, and the person took the remote.
It's again, the game has changed, and we cannot unring the bell from COVID. Now, I'm an extrovert's extrovert. I enjoy being around other humans. My personal cell phone battery gets charged up when I'm around other people.
Yeah, me too.
But a lot of people aren't like that, and they're perfectly content working from, you know, the corner of their dining room or the spare bedroom or the office they set up at home, and that's the freedom and flexibility that they prioritize now, more so than salary, more so than incentives or bonuses, more so than you know, medical and dental benefits.
They
want the flexibility that comes with hybrid work or remote work.
Does that provide an opportunity for companies or credit unions in this case to, hey, you know, we can leverage this if you want to sacrifice something here to have the remote? So,
well, I think the biggest,
save them some money or something like that.
I think the biggest advantage for organizations is the opportunity to have access to a much wider, you can cast a much wider net. If your expectation is that an employee is going to enter my office or enter my branch 4 or 5 days out of the week, that person needs to live in a commutable distance. Humanity is headquartered in Ontario, California. I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. Literally opposite coasts.
Yes.
I've never been to our headquarters, and I likely will never ever set foot in our headquarters. And our headquarters is an office. It's a mailbox at the California Nevada Credit Union League. But we don't even have staff at our headquarters. So, you know, the opportunity here for organizations is to cast a wider net.
Yeah.
Humanity can hire anywhere in the country, and we can secure the very best talent for our organization. Credit unions now that are willing to embrace remote work are able to do the same. And even those that don't want to go fully remote, at least offering that hybrid flexibility creates an environment where more candidates are going to be excited about working for your organization. It makes your organization appear to be more progressive and forward-thinking.
Oh, completely.
You know, and it's just the possibilities are endless. But again, you can cast a really wide net when you have the ability to hire remote.
Yeah, I mean, that brings to, in my mind, because, I mean, in some cases, COVID was a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
And I know of one company, I'm sure there are several more out there, but one company, just as an example, never did the remote type thing, but COVID forced them to do that, to look nationwide and have people work remotely, and they haven't looked back since. And they said, this is the best thing that ever happened to us, because now we're not just relegated to our geographic area looking for people. Now we can look nationwide, and they can stay in their place. I mean, certain, like you said earlier, you know, certain positions require you to be in the office, but these positions specifically didn't require you to be in the office.
Absolutely.
So it was a really a blessing in disguise for them, because it really opened their eyes to what was possible, and it's expanded their talent pool, so to speak.
Yes, absolutely. And then, you know, from the, you know, on the recruiting side of things, the virtual arrangement has presented some opportunities. Again, I'm no longer limited to that specific geographic region. When I'm working with candidates, having the ability to quickly access candidates from across the country really makes my job a lot easier when it comes to finding the very best talent for these particular roles. And again, just not being limited to that geographic area. Now, it's a hard concept for some people to wrap their minds around. I talked to my mom and dad, who were a bit older, about the work that I do, and they just can't quite grasp. Like, okay, so you're hiring someone for a credit union in Missouri, but they live in Denver. Well, are they going to move? Well, no, Mom, they don't have to move, right? Yeah. They can do the job remotely.
Yeah.
And it's not until my mom and dad come to visit, typically come to visit the grandbaby,
but
they also kind of want to see their son.
Oh, yeah.
But then they see me. Right. And then they see me working, and it's, Oh, okay. Well, what are you doing today? Well, I'm talking to somebody in Baltimore. Well, what are you doing today? I'm talking to somebody in Miami. Well, what are you doing tomorrow? I'm meeting with someone in Memphis.
Yeah.
All from the comfort of,
right,
of
right,
my home. So
right.
that part's really neat. And again, just being able to cast that wide net,
yep,
makes the work that we do as recruiters so much more impactful.
No doubt.
And effective.
Any other trends that you guys are seeing out there as far as, you know, what talent or what folks are looking for? Or I mean, obviously the remote thing is a major, major one.
Remote is very important. One of the things that, and I feel like I'm going to give away a little bit of the humanity secret sauce,
uh-oh,
with this,
uh-oh,
response here. The candidate experience. That,
okay,
is something that we prioritize at Humanity. So often, if a role is open, an organization's hiring for a VP of finance, they're hiring for a consumer lender, they're hiring for a software engineer, one person is going to get a happy phone call at the end of this search, which means that a lot of other people,
yep,
are going to be told no at some point in the process of this search. Humanity does this really well. This is what I believe is one of our best practices. I said it's our secret sauce.
Yeah.
The candidate experience begins the moment that you make first contact with that candidate. Now, that could be through a phone call, but typically it's going to be through the job posting. So it's not even a situation where I'm actively engaging with that candidate, but I've placed something on the internet, right? The World Wide Web, on our job page, and a candidate's going to read that. So it's important to make sure that your job postings don't have biased wording or language in them that can steer candidates away from potentially applying for,
yeah,
the role. And there are tools that are available,
yeah,
to help organizations ensure that their job postings don't have biased wording in them. From there, once a candidate applies for the role, then you have a very important and critical opportunity to make contact, additional contact with that candidate,
mm-hmm,
and let them know. Acknowledge receipt of their resume.
Yeah.
That's important. Laying out the foundation for what the search is going to look like, the cadence of the search and the timing of the next steps, those things are important. That way, if you apply and you're at the beginning of that application window and we're not going to start interviewing candidates for another 4 weeks, well, then at least you know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not left in a lurch. I can't tell you how many times I've applied for a job and I did not hear back from the hiring manager.
Yeah, you're like, I wonder what's going on.
Or you find out that they fill the role when you see a posting on LinkedIn,
yeah,
announcing the,
yeah,
hire of Mike Lawson.
Wait,
it's
a,
like,
minute.
I applied for that job. I didn't even realize that I was out of the running. So that candidate experience piece is so critically important. And as recruiters, as talent acquisition specialists, as hiring managers, we have an opportunity to ensure that experience is a positive one. So,
mm-hmm,
you know, candidates want communication. They deserve that.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
You know, and I think there's an opportunity there for us to help them with that. And then the other benefit of that is, and I've seen it happen a few times before, you know, letting people go from a search is probably the worst part of my job. But I do it, I won't say daily, but every week,
mm-hmm,
I'm releasing people from a search.
Yeah, yeah.
I cannot tell you how many times people have thanked me at the end.
Really?
Yeah, I'm delivering bad news, and they thank me, but they're not thanking me for releasing them from the search, but they're thanking me for the transparency,
yeah,
in the process.
Yeah, the
they're thanking me for the communication.
Yeah.
They're thanking me for not leaving them just floating in the matrix and wondering what happened.
Yeah.
You know, they understand and know the status of their candidacy every step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And people appreciate that. And then what they'll do is they'll come back and they'll apply for other roles.
Of course, because they know they're going to be treated with respect. There's going to be that transparency, that communication. So it's actually a good experience. Like we keep talking about the member experience at a credit union. And if it's a good experience, they're going to come back time and time again. Same thing with you guys.
If
it's a good experience, they're going to come back.
They can't.
Yeah.
And I'm a firm believer that I don't have to talk down on someone to big up myself or the organization that I work with, but there are a lot of other talent acquisition units out there,
mm-hmm,
that I believe fail at this part. And again, I think that's the humanity difference. I think,
yeah,
that's the part that we get right, and we get it really, really right. We do it really well,
mm-hmm,
and I think that's what separates us from a lot of the competition.
That's why you are where you are, sir, right now. That's why you guys are so successful.
Thank you.
Good story indeed. Anything else, sir? Anything else you want to address before I unleash you onto the rest of the show?
Gosh, let's see. Social media. I did want to.
Oh.
Social media. So,
share away.
Another trend in recruiting, and I meant to mention this earlier. Obviously, LinkedIn is a popular platform
to leverage.
Savvy organizations are looking at other platforms to use. I've heard of some organizations using TikTok. I've heard of organizations using Twitter or X, name changes. I read a really cool story about Verizon posting something on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
and the post was some sort of a puzzle, and the caption read, you know, if you think you can solve this, DM us and you could be our next, I think, software engineer.
Really?
I thought it was really cool, and people would DM them with their solution to this puzzle.
Yeah.
And in essence, have an opportunity to apply for a job as a software engineer with Verizon. Now, I'm not suggesting that credit unions go out and, you know, hey, solve for this income, this balance sheet problem that we have. But there are unique and creative ways that you can solicit quality talent. And again, using platforms like Instagram and Twitter or X also helps you to make contact with the younger demographic, every credit union says they want that,
sure.
right? But
mm-hmm.
but what steps are you doing to ensure that you're attracting the younger demographic, the Gen Z, the millennials? You've got to be, it's not going to happen by accident. So you've got to be proactive about how you reach out and connect with that group. And again, there's so much talent in the younger demographic.
Yeah.
And I don't want credit unions to miss out on that talent. That's our next wave of leaders, and we need to be meeting them where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always going to be in the traditional, you know, newspaper ad. I remember when the newspaper, just on like Indeed or Career Builder. I mean, those aren't bad platforms.
Monster.
Even
if it's still around.
You know, but yeah, there are lots of different ways that you can attract and appeal to that younger talent. And credit unions, you know, we cannot be, same we, right? I speak as someone who's a part of the industry. We cannot be reactionary. We've got to be proactive in our approach to securing that talent. And I think that's very, very important.
Well, I think it's a two-way street with an employer and an employee or a job candidate. What you put into it is what you get out of it.
Absolutely.
So if you're a credit union or any type of organization, what you put into that search, what you put into that process is what you're going to get out of it.
Absolutely.
And if you get super creative like Verizon did with the puzzle or anything else like that, you're going to get some quality people,
yes.
I think, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
All right, sir. Well,
awesome.
Thank you so much for the tips and the insights, and always enjoy working with you guys at Humanity.
Thank you.
Top-notch group indeed, for sure.
Thank you. You guys are doing some great stuff. And well-dressed, right?
Very well dressed. My gosh.
Gosh, I appreciate it. Hopefully, I didn't end up on the blooper reel.
Not this time.
That was always my concern when you spoke to me about this.
You made it last year.
I would not be shocked if I made it this year on something else, but not this.
We still got 6 or 7 months to go, Carl. There's still time.
I won't let you down. Thank you so much, Mike.
Always a pleasure. Always fun. And keep up the good work there at Humanity.
Awesome.
All right, sir.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Nakiso Studio Lounge Interviews brought to you by PSCU Co-op Solutions, Tricen, Envisant, Typhoon, Bonafide, CU Healthcare Pay Card, and CU NextGen. A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stearns, podcast, Despite Impossible.